You are listening to the Wisdom with Trish podcast. This is episode 66, God's Health Code. Welcome to Wisdom with Trish. I'm Trish. I'm your host. I'm a mom to six kids. I've been married to my sweetheart for 28 years. And I'm a life coach. But most of all, and why we're all here, is I spent 30 years chronic dieting. Yep, most of my life I've spent trying to be in a smaller body. And this podcast is about my journey to turning to God and trusting Him to not diet anymore. I found a path of health and a path of loving the space I take up in the world. And I'm here now to help other women do the same. So I'm so glad you're going to join me on the journey. All right, here we go. Hey, 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 friends. Wow, I have had a week. It's been a week since I recorded the Moving Mountains episode. And boy, my kids are home from school and I am trying to figure it out. I bet you're doing the same thing. I have a lot more going on with Wisdom with Trish this year than I did, than I ever have before. Running the Breathe program and creating content for them and then creating content for all of you. Anyway, it's just kind of crazy because now I'm like, oh, but my kids are home and I just want to play with them every second. They don't want to play with me every second. Let's be really clear about that. So I've just been trying to figure out all of that this week, and it's been so wonderful because I love all of this, the Wisdom with Trish stuff. I love all of that. And then I also love my kids being home. So I'm just really grateful that I have the ability to figure out both. So fun. Today, I've had this episode on my mind for a long time. I've wanted to do it ever since actually I launched the podcast. But it never like came together. And this morning while I was up and reading my scriptures and doing my normal morning stuff, it kind of just came together and I wrote it down quickly and here we go. I'm going to tell you my thoughts about it and hopefully it just comes together beautifully and you'll learn something from it today. So I want to chat about, today we're going to talk about the basics of the Word of Wisdom. Now, if you listen to my podcast and you're not a member of my faith, I'm so glad you're here. And I don't want you to feel like, oh, click, I don't need to listen to this podcast. I think you still do need to listen to this podcast because the Bible gives us so many beautiful insights to God's health code through Daniel, through the what he tells Adam and Eve. There's just beautiful things there. And then what happens in the Doctrine and Covenants is it's a book of scripture in our faith, which we believe is modern revelation that's given to us. And this revelation was given in 1838, I want to say. Don't quote me on that. That might have been a guess. But basically, it's written and it kind of pulls it all together for us. Like it just puts it all in one place. And it was written for our time. So even though it was given in the early 1800s, what it was actually written for was for us. Because back in then, they're just eating their oats and their grains and their fruits and vegetables, right? They didn't live in the world we live in. So when the Word of Wisdom, which we believe is God's health code, was given, it was actually for us, for our time. And you can see that so clearly when you read it, and it talks about evil designs of men in the last days. Basically, you know, people who produce food or substances for us to take in that's all about money and not about health. And so he wanted to paint a clear picture. Now, the Word of Wisdom kind of has two parts. It kind of has part where which members of my faith are very familiar with. The part about how kind of the what we don't partake of. And it's the tobacco. It's hot drinks, which they've clarified is we don't drink coffee and tea and things like that. And that is something that members of the church of my faith typically do very well. That's something that they do. Sometimes when people join our faith to stop smoking or stop drinking or whatever they are doing, sometimes is a challenge, and it's hard when they join our faith to give those things up. But all of that, it's all given to us because of God's love for us. And he doesn't want our bodies to be in an addicted state where we cannot feel his love and his guidance because of the addictions that we carry. And then there's this part of the Word of Wisdom that is kind of the, and he says, and this is what you should be doing. And I find that this part, because the part with the do nots is part of, if we want to attend our temples, which is a little different than our Sunday service, if we want to attend temples, our temple, we have to go with a little paper that says we are worthy to be there. And part of that worthiness is not doing those don'ts of the Word of Wisdom. We cannot be addicted to substances to be able to attend the temple. That's something God wants us to clear up in our lives before we attend that special place. And so members of my faith are awesome at that. They tend to, we got that down. But there's this other part that is almost skimmed through. And it's almost thought of as like a nice idea. Like it's, that's nice. Like I've never thought of it as anything except for, oh, that's cute that he told those people back then that. And never really taking it as, oh, this is something we actually should be doing. And some members of my faith, of course, have come to that and are figuring that out. And maybe have been for many years, right? But it's not something, the part of the dues is not something that is talked a lot over the pulpit. It's not something that they are giving us direction and saying, this matters too, y'all. Do this too. They're not doing that. It's really something that they've left and they've kind of said to the do part is the, you need to manage that out with God and find out what that is for you. And that, and it's not really discussed. It is like sometimes we'll have Word of Wisdom lessons and it gets taught up a little bit, but it's never like it's part of our faith that we do this part as well. So if that makes any sense to any of you, and hopefully those of my faith who are listening can go, oh yeah, it is kind of like that. So that's been my experience. That's been what I've viewed in the world. And when you go through, when I share today what I believe are the three parts of the Word of Wisdom that are very clearly spoken out in that scripture, which is Doctrine and Covenants 80, section 89. And I will link that in the show notes. If you're not a member of my faith and you want to actually go read what that is, I would love for you to do that. But what I want to talk about today is when you see that these three parts, you're like, oh yeah, I just thought of my last ward potluck, my congregational potluck. Yeah, we're not really doing that so well. You'll see. You can break this one up and listen to it in sections if you need to. So the three parts of the Word of Wisdom, I believe, and you get to study it for yourself. You get to jump in and kind of decide what it means for you. But for me, being at this for a few years now, I'm able to break it down in three parts, and I want to do that for you today. So the first part is in Doctrine and Covenants 89, section 10. He says, and again, verily I say unto you, all wholesome herbs God has ordained for the constitution, nature, and use of man. So when he says that, you have to wonder, well, what does wholesome mean? And wholesome, if you look that up in the what the footnote is for that, it's anything with a root is what they're saying. So he's saying plants, anything with a root, anything that's grown in the dirt is ordained for the use of man. And he goes on in verse 11, and this is like a little nugget I just found this morning preparing for this podcast. Every herb in the season thereof, every fruit in the season thereof. So what he's saying is every word. He wants us to be eating as many plants as we possibly can. He's telling us you need a diversification of plants in what you have, in what you eat. And plant-based doctors now, of course, are validating that, right? They're telling us the way that you have a healthy microbiome is by eating a variety of plants. You have to feed your microbiome lots of different things, and that's how it's in its most healthy state. And he says it right here, y'all. Every herb in the season thereof, and every fruit. He uses that word every twice. So we want to eat lots of varieties of wholesome herbs, wholesome plants that have roots. All right. So he's telling us the plants are for you to eat. Eat them up. Bananas will not make you fat, y'all. Bananas do not have too much sugar. All of that business, we get to just clear out all the diety culture stuff that we're taught in our lifetime. No, you get to eat the fruits and vegetables, okay? If God grew it and it has a root, you should be eating it. All right, then, so that's the first one. We want to have a variety of plants. All the plants are given for us. Actually ordained. They're ordained for us, y'all. That's a big word. Okay, number two. And this is probably where we're going to spend a little more time, because this one is a little bit more. I have lots of new listeners to the podcast. I can see how many people are listening each week. And I have lots of new people, and I have to wonder if some of them are not from the plant-based communities. I think that they're from, I was a guest on a podcast, and I think they've come from that podcast. So I just think that this might be new to them. So this might sting y'all when I talk about this part, but just listen to it with an open mind. And, you know, we're looking for treasures here, right? So we're going to find the treasures that are in here with a new open, because we have an open mind. So the next one is, yea, flesh also of beasts and fowls of the air, I, the Lord, have ordained for the use of man with thanksgiving. Nevertheless, they are to be used sparingly. So he's telling us, meat can go into our bodies. Our bodies know what to do when we eat other animals' flesh, right? But he says, but I need you to be using them sparingly. Now, what I want you to know about that word sparingly, he did not use the word moderation. He didn't use, what did he use? I thought it would be really fascinating to look up in the dictionary what sparingly, how it was used in the 1827 dictionary. Okay, and this is what it was. Not abundantly. I'm going to tell you the first word and the five different explanations. Frugally, abstinently, seldom, and cautiously. All right? Seldom, abstent, not at all. Frugally, that one's interesting to me. I'm not sure how you eat meat frugally, but I think he's just saying how often, like, we're just not, it's not often, and not abundantly, and cautiously. And I want you to think how often right now in your life you're eating meat. Or animal products. We probably need to lump animal products in this because eggs and dairy have the same makeup of meat, and those come from his animals, right? So we want to be thinking, we're talking about animal products here. Like, how many animal products have you eaten today? I don't know that seldom means a little bit at every meal. So it's fascinating, right? So, and if we flip the word, what is the opposite word for sparingly? The opposite, the antonym for it is usually, regularly, or frequently. So at each meal, do you usually have an animal product on your plate? Do you regularly have meat in your home, animal products in your home? Do you frequently eat meat? I think we always think of it as the portion. Like he's saying sparingly, so we should have like a small portion. But let's think of the word sparingly. One of my favorite things I like to think of is like a spare tire and a spare key. How often do I use a spare tire or a spare key? That's probably how often I should be using animal products. Sparingly. And I'm telling y'all, we love to say, oh, we need to eat meat in moderation. He didn't use moderation. If he wanted to say moderation, he would have said moderation, but he didn't use that word. He said sparingly. And honestly, y'all, moderation is not something that we do as Jesus-believing people. We don't use moderation in when we are honest or not. We don't use moderation in being chaste with our spouse, like, you know, in chastity. We don't use moderation for how we pay our tithing. We don't use moderation in, you know what I mean? I could go on and on and on about all the principles of the gospel. We don't believe to be doing those moderately in moderation. So be careful in that. That word loves to be used when we talk about the word of wisdom. But he didn't use moderation. He used sparingly. How often do you use a spare key or a spare tire? Okay, so there's actually one other part here that goes along with the Lord telling us about animal products and how much we should consume them. So the part I always knew about, like every church member knows that we're asked to eat meat sparingly. We know that word. We use that word. We all define that word very differently. But he gives us a clue what that word means in two more verses. And these two other verses, I actually didn't even know they existed. If you would have told me that it said this, I'd have been like, no, it doesn't. Don't say that. That's not what it says. So I just didn't know. And when I started trying to look at the word of wisdom in a new lens, that's when I saw it. And so it's one of those treasures. It doesn't just show itself to you. You've got to go hunting for it. So let's look more closely at it. So he tells us to use animals. They're to be used by men sparingly. And he's talking about not just eating them, but using them for goods, making products out of them, using them even for like as for labor on farms and, you know, things like that. Like he's saying, he loves his animals. And he's saying, use them when you have to. But if you don't have to, you know, and that's what he explains. So I'm getting ahead of myself. So in verse 13, he's still talking about the animals. And he says, and it is pleasing unto me that they should not be used. Y'all, he says that. And it's pleasing unto me that they should not be used. Only in times of winter or cold or famine. And he's trying to like kind of explain like these kinds of times when things are really hard. And think of this time frame when he gave it. They didn't have refrigeration. They didn't have, and sometimes people act like it's said that is said because they didn't have refrigeration. So this is only for them. But I think what he's really showing is like, in winter, when you don't have access to your crops, you might have to eat your animals. and then that's part of what cold is. Or famine. If you have nothing else to eat, yes, you should eat my animals. And then he goes on, and it's interesting, because in 14, so that was verse 13. And then in verse 14, he starts talking about grain, and he tells us how it's ordained for the use of man. And then in 15, he circles back, y'all. You always want to pay attention when the Lord circles back in the scriptures. Well, he circles back in this one. And he says, in 15, and these, he's talking about animals here, hath God made for the use of man. Only, he uses the only word, only in times of famine and of excess hunger. So when you have nothing else to eat, he's telling you, us, my animals are available to you. But if you have other options, I want you eating those other options. Now, the word that just really was so beautiful to me when I read this, when I was somewhat discovering the word of wisdom in my health journey, when I read this piece, I was like, does it really say that? When it says, and it is pleasing unto me. It's pleasing. I would love to please the Lord in such a simple way by not eating his animals. I can do that. And after I saw that word, I just was curious how often the word, like God talks about things that we do that please him in the scriptures. Y'all, it doesn't really exist. Go start searching for that. He doesn't tell us often what pleases him. But he loves his animals. His animals have souls, just like you. He cares about his animals. He cares about the lives of those animals. And I never thought of meat as animals. I knew it, but it's in our society, we're very disconnected. Unless you're on a farm and you're raising your own cattle and you're killing your own cattle and you're slicing your chickens' necks to eat. We are very disconnected from this is an animal and we are eating the animal. That is not, we call things chicken and things, but we're not thinking this, I'm eating this and this was an animal. How often in our prayers do we take pause for the animal that gave its life so we could eat it? We are so disconnected. We walk in grocery stores and we pick up things in packages. We call it food, and it's actually dead animals in that section of the grocery store. And I am not here to be on a soapbox because, y'all, I ate low carb for years and years. I wasn't eating grains. I was eating all the animals. A good meal to me was a big, juicy ribeye with some vegetables. Perfect Sabbath day meal. Our family had roast the majority of Sundays. So I'm just saying, I didn't see it either. I didn't see it. And the humanity of eating animals, like having that piece, that might not come for you for a while. It didn't for me. But now, if I do eat animals, which I do sometimes, I'll use my spare key. But when that happens, I absolutely take pause. And I show gratitude for the animal that gave its life. It creates awareness for you. You live in more an aware life, seeing all of God's creations. Okay? So, maybe be prayerful. Do you want to please God in such a simple way? Because he does over here say, eat them sparingly. And then he moves on and he says, and I actually really prefer you not to eat them at all. It pleases me if you just don't eat them at all. Unless you absolutely have to. Because you have nothing else to eat. And you guys, we have like so many grocery stores with so much food. It's just provided for us. We're not growing our own grains and growing our own fruits and vegetables. It's just available to us. So more now more than ever, he knows he's got to let us know that he'd prefer us to just not eat it at all. We all have other things to eat. And I know that the church doesn't come out and like really say this because we're a worldwide church. There's people in our faith in other countries who are like living off their land and they need to eat their chickens. This is why it's such a, you've got to like think about your life and what does your life look like? And if your life does look like we have to eat the chickens we raise to survive, that's one thing. But if your life is I go to Walmart or whatever my grocery store is and I can just put food in my cart, you have to decide. You have to think to yourself, do I have a famine issue? Because that's what he says we should be eating the animals, is if there's nothing else to eat. All right. And that one might be tough for you because we are ingrained in our society that we have to have protein and that protein, the best source of our protein is animal products. And you just have to know, y'all, that is industry. In America, we are taught what is healthy from industry. Industry tells us what's healthy. Because we know doctors aren't telling us what's healthy. They take one class in med school about health. They're not telling us. So the message comes from people trying to sell you goods. That's where that comes from. And I have lots of podcasts on that. You can go find those episodes. But so know that this is going against what you already believe, which is fascinating, right? That the one thing he tells us to do sparingly, our world is telling you should have it abundantly. Fascinating. Satan's so good at what he does. He knows the importance of the word of wisdom and the importance of feeding our bodies and the ability, what kind of lives we can live if we live in healthy bodies and the work we can do for the Lord in those bodies. He don't want that. He wants us sick, hurting, and not really good for anybody as we age. That's what he wants. Because then we can't be the powerhouses that we were designed to be because we're in our bodies that we have crippled by what we have put in our mouth. All right, and we're going to see Satan's designs so much more in the next one. I'm going to blow your mind a little bit. So here we go. You might have already figured it out. If you're one of my plant-based eaters already, you already know. But sometimes it's fun to listen to what we already know. So the next one is the third part of what I believe are the do's of the word of wisdom is grain. And in verse 14, he says this. He says, all grain is ordained for the use of man and is to be the staff of life. Now, the staff of life tells me that it should be predominantly what's on your plate. Right? And this is the fascinating part. What is vilified in our world? We don't call it wheat as much, but we call it gluten. And everybody has a gluten intolerance. Now, the celiac people, they like for sure, for real do. Like, I'm not pretending about that or pretending like that's not a real thing. That's an actual autoimmune disease. But what we need to see here is grains are vilified. People are not eating starches. People are not eating carbohydrates. People are scared of them. People think that to live a healthy life, you need to eat protein and vegetables. Our bodies are designed to run on carbohydrates. Your brain is designed to run on carbohydrates. And I'm not going to get into all the science on this podcast, but if you look into the scriptures, let's just think about Nephi's family and Lehi's family. When they're they have to go into the wilderness. What do they talk about? They talk about they no longer have their seeds, and they no longer can plant because they're traveling through the wilderness. So they have to rely on beasts, and they're not even that happy about it. Right. And they, you know, they actually have to eat raw beasts and things like that, but they don't get to have their grains. They want to have their grains. And what happens when they finally get to the land of promise? They are thrilled because they get to have, they get to plant their seeds and have grains again. Our bodies are designed for grains. That is what fuels our body. And it's completely vilified. Like right now, if you went to your local grocery store, your Walmart or your Kroger or Smith's or whatever's in your area, if you wanted to go buy a wheat berry, that's what a whole intact wheat is called, you couldn't even buy that at your grocery store. You'd have to go find that at a health food store or at Winco in their bulk bins. Hard to find. Like, we can buy it from our food storage, you know, center, church center that in your area, but it's, nobody's selling wheat. And it's, and he goes on to tell us that wheat is actually what is designed for us, right? He starts saying all grain is good for man. He tells us that. And then he goes on to say, and nevertheless, wheat for man, corn for the ox, oats for the horse. So he's like telling, like, even more specifically. And when I say grain, I don't just mean wheat, but he specifies wheat here. And that's hard for some people because they're like, but I really do have a wheat issue. And he's telling me wheat. He doesn't start off with wheat. He starts off with grain. He's telling you grain should be your staff of life. And there is lots of grains that don't have gluten. And you've just got to find those grains and you've got to be eating those grains. And that's tricky because we have not been trained that way. Most of us can't name more than three or four, you know, grains, let alone having a variety of grains in our world. Okay. But I want you to see how mixed up the world is. How meat is king, protein from animals is king, and grains have been vilified. God knew we'd need clarity. God knew the nutrition world would be noisy. God knew the industry would be funding or would be pushing what health is. He knew you would need clarity. He wants you to live in a healthy body. He wants you to live in a body that you can do the things that he wants you to do while you're here on this earth and not be plagued with disease. Because what we haven't talked about, but I have on other podcasts, is many of the diseases that Americans suffer from come from the high intake of animal products, processed foods, and the low intake of fiber. And fiber is what comes in our grains and our all of our root vegetables, anything that grows from a root. And of course, grains come from roots too. So we've just got to start shifting our thinking. But what's so tricky is it's hard for us to believe him. I don't know why we don't believe him. We read that. I used to read that and think, if I ate that way, I would be 400 pounds. Why would I ever eat that way? Like, those were my thoughts. I didn't believe him. And it's sad. I would love to say, and God pointed me to the word of wisdom. And then I believed it. I didn't. I found the plant-based doctors. They showed me the 100 years of research that is almost hidden, that is like a treasure, that's hard to see. The plant-based doctors are over here screaming the truth, and it's hard to hear them. And I found that information, and then I linked it to the word of wisdom. Sad, I know. I couldn't come up with it just reading this, that, and believing him on its own. So if you might need to have, when I'm saying all this, you're like, this girl's bonkers. I've read the word of wisdom. It doesn't say all that. I don't know what you're thinking, but if you're thinking of any of that, you got to go study. Because the beautiful part about the word of wisdom are the promises. And the promises are not, a lot of times I believe that we think the promise is when we find this and we're on a health journey, we think, oh, the promise is to have a smaller body. That's such a superficial promise. That's even a promise that my brain thinks is really important, but I know inside my heart, it's not important at all. My body is so wise. My body is smart. I feed my body the way that it can act, it can work optimally. And I have blessings of health from that, from living the word of wisdom. And health looks different on everybody, but we're not trained to think that way. So one of the promises is, and all saints who keep, remember to keep and do these sayings. Okay, so you got to hear the words in that. And all saints who remember to keep and do these sayings. This is not about if you just keep the don't part, you receive health. It's these. It means all of this whole thing he's talking about. These sayings. If walking in obedience to the commandments shall receive health in their navel and marrow in their bones, and shall find wisdom and great treasures of knowledge, even hidden treasures. Y'all, this is what I'm outing the hidden treasures today on this podcast. I'm telling you, this is like, it is hard to see this. Because, A, go to your next ward, if we're starting that again, I don't know. But if we're having like a ward potluck, we're not talking about this. This is something, what happens when you have a treasure? You have to go find it. You have to go hunting for it. It doesn't come to you. And that's how God sets us up. He doesn't spell it out for you. It's all there. But it's almost like we don't have eyes to see until we're ready for the treasure, until we start hunting and looking for that hidden treasure. And so in verse 19, it says, and shall find wisdom and great treasures of knowledge, even hidden treasures. Y'all, this is hidden. And if this is the first time you're listening to me, and this is the first time you've heard the word of wisdom spoken like this, it's so hidden that you're thinking I'm bonkers. I know, I hear you. But that's why you got to go and read and study, and he'll start opening and showing you the hidden treasures that are there. And then it goes on to say, and you shall run and not be weary, and shall walk and not faint. That's the promise. If you're in a body right now that can't run and can't walk, you following this, you following God's health code, is going to let that happen for you. Now, I don't have all the answers. Some people live in bodies that can't run and can't walk because their body just physically can't do that, not because of weight on their body. And some bodies are sick, and some bodies are sick not because of the food they put in their mouth. All those things are still going to exist. But even those people in those bodies, the word of wisdom can bless. Because it's just going to enrich your life wherever you're at, whatever your body, wherever it's at, it can be blessed by these promises. And I, the Lord, give unto them a promise that the destroying angel shall pass them by. Oh, sorry. And I, the Lord, give unto them a promise that the destroying angel shall pass them by as the children of Israel and not slay them. When we talk about all of the things that plague the people here in the United States and the people who around the world who eat like us, it's a beautiful promise to think that those diseases are optional and that destroying angel doesn't have to affect us that way. It's so beautiful. It's optional. Now, I'm not saying that no one's ever going to get sick, that no one's ever going to have disease. That's just not true. But when you start looking at the plant-based doctor's work and the miracles that take place, when people start following basically the word of wisdom, they don't call it that, but it basically predominantly eating carbohydrates that come from grains and fruits and vegetables, right? And they lower that fat and protein intake to 10%. 10% fat, 10% protein, which naturally occurs in plants. Miracles in their body start to happen. And I don't know if you're listening, and I don't know if you need a miracle, but it's offered here. You just need to tap in and be real prayerful and change that prayer that maybe you've given your whole life, that I know I did, about shrinking my body, and shift it to, what is the best thing for me? What does my body need? And he will help you see the treasures in this. Oh, they're just awesome. And I'm so grateful for it. All right, y'all. Word of wisdom, Doctrine and Covenants 89. Such good stuff. So if this is new to you and you are trying to figure out if this is right or not, I'm going to tell you a little suggestion. I wouldn't start talking to everybody in the world about it. This is a quiet process. This is something that you and the Lord start working out, because everyone around you is in the same, I love to call it a fish tank, where we just don't see the truth. And when you start seeing truth, people are going to tell you you're crazy. So, no, this is a quiet process. But come here to the podcast and for some extra support and reinforcement. And then come join me in my Wisdom with Trish Facebook group. And then you also have the option to join Breathe. And I totally help you in Breathe. Change over to a plant-based way of eating. And I help you manage your mind while you're doing it. So I'd love to have you come join us. All right, y'all. Have the best day. Hope you're having an amazing summer with your kiddos. All right. Have a great day. Have a great day. Have a great day. We'll see you next time. A few things before you go. If you have found that you need help on your journey of taking amazing care of yourself and loving the space you take up in the world, please, I would love for you to come join us in my monthly membership coaching program called Breathe. Breathe is a place where like-minded women come together and help one another. I help you by coaching you, and then I record that, and then other women will watch while you are helped, and then you watch other women when they're helped. And it's this community where women are helping women, and it's so beautiful. There's a lot of other perks when you're a Breathe member. So you receive coaching, you get to watch other women be coached, and then you also get to have access to any course that I provide. So right now, there's two courses in the membership. One is how to eat plant-based in 30 days without dieting. So if you're at the very beginning of your journey, that will help you so much. Now, if you're a little bit further along in your journey, you will probably love my course that is on self-care. And it's a self-care course that you take over 6 weeks. And it's a way for you to come home to yourself and start figuring out, what does love feel like for you? And this is a course that I usually offer just to a group coaching program, but now it's also offered in Breathe. Something else you'll have is you'll have this community of support. There'll be a private Facebook group that you can check in with. And remember, you're going to be seeing these other women be coached. So you will get to be, honestly, their best friends. It will be a wonderful community. And you know, sometimes when we eat plant-based and we try to leave diet culture, it's a little bit lonely. So that will be a wonderful support for you. The last thing, I provide weekly meal plans. I'm trying to think of everything I can to make this process of you loving you and you loving the space you take up in the world and you taking amazing care of yourself, to have all the tools for that. And one tool to simplify your life is a weekly meal plan with a grocery list. And that will also be available in Breathe. And all of that will be available on an easy app so that you can access it on your phone, and you can, it can be very user-friendly for you. So come join me in Breathe. You remember, nothing in your life has to change for everything to change. And that's the work we do in Breathe. Have you come up for air? Have you needed help to keep breathing? I got you. Come join us and Breathe. Have you downloaded my free commitment planner? Okay, if you haven't, you totally need to. it's such an easy way for you to make and keep commitments to yourself and honor those commitments. Go to my Instagram account, and in the links in bio, there is an option there to download that for free. Totally go get that. Make sure that you subscribe to the podcast. If you're feeling like you're missing episodes, it's probably because you're not subscribed. So whatever, wherever you listen, you just subscribe and then they will make sure that you don't miss an episode. Also, are you part of my free Facebook group? If you're not, you should be. Come on over, share recipes with us, and it's just a really diet culture free place to enjoy being online. And last of all, have you left me a review? Reviews are really important because that's how other people find the podcast, is through a review. So wherever you listen, go ahead and leave me a review there so other people can get the help that they need through the podcast. All right, y'all are the best. Have the best day. See you next time.